Adelaide, good morning to you. The Dead Set Legends ready to rock and roll for another Saturday morning. The former skipper of the Brisbane Lions here, two-time best and fairest, Tommy Rockliffe. Hello, mate.
Yes, good morning, Tomo. Round one action now. We're into the real stuff. Both our clubs play this weekend. Mm-hmm. The Adelaide Crows tonight up against the against the Gold Coast Suns. I'm not sure if they get the job done. And then Port Adelaide tomorrow, they should just roll over the top of West Coast, you'd imagine.
Very interesting, mate. The second week of the Dead Set Legends, and we're a man down again. Callum Ferguson still overseas, filling the pockets. Incredible stuff. We had Tex Walker on last week, and I reckon we've gone to another level today. The former skipper of the Port Adelaide Footy Club, Tommy Jonas. TJ, good morning to you. Welcome to the Dead Set Legends.
Good morning, man. And the intro was Ferg hitting a couple of fours through the covers, and I've been known to do that. So it's pretty much a like for like, just not filling the pockets over in Sri Lanka, unfortunately.
Oh, unbelievable. Now, like I said, we did have Texan on last week, and it was a little bit iffy where he's going to get up and play tonight. I've never had a co-host, I'll be brutally honest, never had a co-host doing radio that every time I played the music was lying down, rolling out his back. So I knew he was in strife with.
No, absolutely no chance. Looking at him last Saturday down the line there. So I think they've done the right thing. Rest him, get him right. But look, we had a cracking game of footy on Thursday night, and then Swans, they were impressive last night.
They've come out hot, the Swannies. And I mean, all the talk out of Collingwood camp was best preseason, going back to back, we're ready to go. But I mean, a few of their frailties have been shown up. Yes, it's a long year, but certainly the Swans are going to be ones to watch. 8 points on the board before the season's even started. That's a pretty good way to get going.
Very interesting, isn't it, with Collingwood as well? Won so many games over the past two seasons, you know, just sort of sneaking over the line, and then 2 30-plus point losses.
Yeah, incredible. They just look a little bit off at the moment, don't they? They're not in sync. They're not playing the Collingwood brand that we're so used to over the last couple of years under Craig McRae. So they've got a bit of work to do, but I'm sure they'll be fine.
I guess we've got them today. Isaac Smith's going to join us, TJ. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, and he'll be a great one to pick the brain of and how you do back it up after a big flag. So we'll get into that, and he can also talk to us about the last couple of night's games and also what's coming up for the rest of the weekend.
Rocky, I see here at 10:50, it is do not miss stuff, because this show, we've been belted from pillar to post from this one individual. Andrew Jarman is going to join the Dead Set Legends. We've finally got him. We've been crawling for him for 2 years, and this morning he's coming on live.
It's incredible. We've asked for him week in, week out for, 2 years?
Yep.
2 and a bit years now, and we finally got him. So it would be good to talk to him about the caravan that they were locked in. I don't know how you go in there.
Nah, absolutely brilliant. The rush hour locked up was a great success throughout the week. He is going to review the whole thing for us, the outcome, what is going on. But next, the Collingwood Football Club. No good last night against Sydney. Rocky and TJ are going to give us the rundown. It's Triple M's Dead Set Legends morning. 13 minutes past 9 o'clock for your Saturday morning, Adelaide. The Dead Set Legends are in town. Tommy Rockliffe, Tom Jonas this morning, and Tomo. Rocky. Collie wobbles 2 weeks in a row now. The Swans too good last night.
Yeah, they were. Sydney, right from the outset, though, they dominated the game. They were behind at quarter time, but they should have been a long way in front. It was a bit concerning the way they dominated the first quarter, but behind on the scoreboard, you thought, Collingwood will get going here, but they just didn't. The players, the key players for Sydney really stood up. Isaac Heaney, McDonald in the forward half, he kicked his four. Chad Warner, he kicked three, had 27. They just ticked all the right boxes last night, Sydney. And I think they were always going to bounce this year. They had a disappointing season last year. Obviously, Grundy makes a huge difference to that midfield as well. And they've still got stars to come back into that team as well. So a little bit concerning for Collingwood, the way they've played the first 2 weeks. But just Sydney ticking all the right boxes.
They'd be very excited by that. And on the flip side, we spoke about sort of Collingwood talking about having a great pre-season, but last night there's just a few people that just failed to fire that have been so big for him. You know, Quainer off halfback didn't have a lot of it. Side bottom, a bit quieter than usual. Josh Dacos, who's, you know, he was as prolific as his brother last year, had a pretty quiet night. So, you know, there's 24 games. But like you spoke about, if they don't win close ones like they did for the last 2 years, then maybe it changes a fair bit.
And the heat's always going to come on, you know, the reigning premier that's lost now 2 in a row. And a lot's been made about this movie or documentary or the celebrating the flag too much. You boys are both past players, very recent out of the game. Would that mess with the players' psyche?
I don't think so. I think they have to do it. Every team does it every year, so I don't know why it's a big story this year that Collingwood did it, but they would be a bit flat. I think Craig McRae would be a little bit, he'll probably fire up. You'd never seen it from him in the past. He's been calm, collected, and I think that he might fire up behind closed doors. They need a kick in a gear. Obviously, they're the hunted team. Everyone wants to beat Collingwood this year because they're the reigning premiers, so everyone sets himself for that game. But, I mean, they were really disappointing in the end. St Kilda next week, next Thursday night, so that they get a chance to bounce back, and then Brisbane at the Gabba the week after, so they could potentially be 0-4.
Yeah, I mean, McRae's got the tools in the kit bag. For me, he's done it all in his short time there, so I have no doubt he'll have the players on his side and he'll be able to address it, and they'll get rolling at some point. But if you are 0-4, it is tough to come back from. I think on the flip side, the Swans just have a great balance. They've got those stars, arguably, you know, one of the best, if not comparable to mine for the Port Adelaide's young midfield, like absolute star starter, but also great balance with your just your foot soldiers like your Rowbottoms, your Jordans, your Wixes. I think there's really good balance there for them.
You'd love to be a Sydney fan, wouldn't you? Like, they're always thereabouts. You know, them and Geelong are way up there. Everyone, you know, you got the Hawthorn, the three in a row, but then they sort of bottom out. Sydney don't seem to really bottom out for too long, and I think Geelong's in the same boat, Rock.
Yeah, they certainly bounce really quickly. The disappointing season last year after playing in the grand final, they probably got to the grand final a little bit early, disappointing on the big stage, knocked them around a bit, but they've ticked all the boxes through the summer. Goulden's a star. He could potentially win a Brownlow one day. He just sets up the play so well. His delivery inside 50 is exceptional.
And let's go on Carlton and Richmond as well. The game on Thursday night. You had a bit of a look at that, TJ. Carlton just got it done in the end. But Richmond, you know, it's a different prospect at the MCG.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably didn't think a whole lot of Richmond after opening round. But they came to the G. They always tend to play well there, whether it's the larger ground or just being back in front of their fans on a Thursday night. They had that traditional sort of Richmond style of footy where they just surge at footy forward, take the game on. It's not necessarily pretty. Having someone like Lynch back makes a difference. He gets a couple early and get a bit of momentum, but it still felt like Carlton were the better side throughout the night.
Yeah, Carlton won 6, I think, now by under a goal. Yeah. Like, just incredible the way they've got an ability to fall in at the moment. Collingwood previously did that. Carlton's got that mantle at the moment. So Richmond, the week before, were horrendous. But you get those stars back. Dustin Martin, Tom Lynch comes back in. Ruckman as well, big name. Like, it just changes completely the way they play.
Like it, mate. Great review there from both you boys. The Dead Set Legends here on Triple M. Isaac Smith, not too far. Dead Set Legends, 104.7 Triple M, 21 minutes past 9 o'clock for your Saturday morning. Tom Rockcliffe, Tom Jonas and Tomo taking you through your Saturday morning sports show till 11:30 today. Then Triple M will be rocking football. Boys, it's come out throughout the week. There's been a whole heap, mate, of about Adelaide Oval here. The prices have gone up once again, and you can probably expect it a bit, really. It's the, you know, sort of the cost of living crisis that we're living in at the moment, but Adelaide Oval have decided to hike up the prices as well, Tej.
Well, that's it. I mean, like, we'd all love RSL prices, $5 for a pint of beer, but, you know, on game day, go find a beer anywhere for under 10 clams, yep. You know, so they've been spruiking the beer tax, like, you know, just don't drink as many as you would, Tomo, all right? Mm. You too, Rocky, you just behave yourself.
Full strength beer up to $9.90, up 5.3% from $9.40. A bucket of hot chips up to $6.70.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty expensive.
That's probably more where it's at, though, isn't it, Rock, when you're talking about a couple of retired footballers, the chips,
yeah.
I reckon.
Yeah, a pie, $5.70. Coffee, small coffee, $5.70, but that's pretty much standard prices now everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think so. Like, I understand it, but I think when there's a 10 in front of a beer, like, if it, you want some sort of change out of a little blue swimmer, don't you? Do you know what I mean? You can't be paying more than $10.
I definitely feel like you'd be dipping out of a few rounds there, Tomo. You know, when it's your turn to buy, just off your sneak. But yeah, it's not cheap to live these days. You pay for your membership or your casual ticket, you go along. You've got the kids that get a thing of hot chips. They throw most of them on the ground. You got to buy them twice. You know, like, it all adds up. It is steep. So you'd want to hope there's some good games of footy on.
Well, they're certainly cashing in, aren't they? Adelaide Oval. They've secured Matildas, which is a sellout. The Christmas Test locked in for 7 years, and then the rumor yesterday about the Socceroos, Tomo.
The Socceroos will now be coming to Adelaide Oval in October or November this year.
Huge, really. The, you know, gather round is going to be massive. Pink, who was here a couple of weeks ago when you bang home 50, 60,000 there, you get both the codes of the soccer. It is huge. And then, like you say, you lock in the Christmas test, it's called at Teej. Where are we at on that?
Adelaide from strength to strength. I mean, I don't even know if we need to call it the Christmas test. It's just the test in Adelaide. It's synonymous with Australian cricket, really. I mean, it's always a jam-packed time of year, but we always get around it and make it work. So, yeah, maybe we need to give it a name, but I think regardless, it'll be a huge event.
Rock, have they locked it in as a day-night, or is it just floating at the moment?
That I'm not sure of, Rock.
Yep, TBC there, I think, Rock. I reckon it could, and that could depend on maybe, you know, who we're playing against and, you know, if we need to get the ball seeming a little bit more.
Well, we just need to go back to, and we've spoken about this numerous times in the summer, haven't we, Rock? We need the five tests and they need to start in order, and we started up in Brisbane.
Oh, last summer, there was cricket just non-stop and it was all over the shop, wasn't it? 2020s, one days, test matches, yeah. And then you end up with the test match after Australia Day. Like, once you have the Sydney test, it should be test cricket over, into your one days, and then footy season starts.
That's it. You do run out of a little bit of puff by that time of year. It's been, I mean, what do you start in mid-November? Or I'd probably go straight from AFL granny. You might get a week spell and then into it from there. It's a big summer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they had the World Cup and then summer and then New Zealand.
Yeah.
Like, they've just finished the test series over in New Zealand, so crazy amounts of cricket.
24 minutes past 9, Triple M. 25 minutes away from 10 o'clock for your Saturday morning, Adelaide. The dead set legend, Scotty Burns, Crows senior assistant coach, and not too far away. But I tell you what, boys, in terms of recruits, I should say, under the Triple M banner, they get no bigger than this man. He was fielding offers left, right and centre. His name's Isaac Smith, four flags to his name, and he loves it. And he joins us right now. Morning, Isaac.
Morning, three times. How are we?
We're going all right, mate. We're going all right. Now, you fitted in nicely to Triple M. A couple of runs on the wireless already, mate. You must be absolutely loving it.
It's been great fun, to be honest. We're just talking off air about the transition between playing and retirement, and mate, I've loved it. I've loved it so far. Great bunch of people, a lot of fun, and you don't have to really worry about stuffing up because I think the Triple M family enjoy that more than rolling something out that sounds half decent.
Absolutely. I think the Amy Clangers are absolute highlight. You've wrist-old Stevie J, though.
Yeah, well, oh, it's a pretty easy wrist-old, isn't it?
Rissoles himself half the time, doesn't he?
Well, he eats a few rissoles, I think.
Yeah, God.
But you've fitted in nicely. I've caught a couple of things on the socials. Self-promotion. Oh, absolutely spot on.
Well, yeah. One thing I gathered and one thing I've worked out over the years that if you're going to come into the Triple M family, you've got to make sure you've got your ego in check and quite confident. So, yeah, I didn't want to sit back early and just cop some bullets because, as we know, there's some pretty big personalities there, and if they get on top of you early, it's a long way back. So came in on the front foot, and I don't know how many bullets I got left, but I fired a few early.
Nah, it was a no-brainer for you, Izzy. You always fired a few bullets on the field as well. But getting to maybe a little bit of footy talk, you've probably been in this position before, or, you know, 2 years ago. Collingwood, they've come out, they've won the flag, they're 0-2, and they're probably not playing their best footy. Can you just talk us through being in that position a little bit and how you sort of dealt with it and how it felt, the expectation over the off-season?
Yeah, it's interesting because once you win it, you become the hunted. So last year, Collingwood, they had nothing to lose. So they were playing with this high-energy, high-octane football, and no one really expected too much of them in the sense that no one had them at premiers at the start of the year. So we were the premiers the year before and they knocked us off round one last year and they kept that energy throughout the season. So it's been a little bit of an interesting watch and it's always difficult for the premier to start off the season well because you always matched up against the best teams. Usually they want prelim replays, grand final replays. They play GWS who will be there or thereabouts this year. Sydney I've tipped to be in the grand final this year. So they've played some good teams early. The interesting thing with Collingwood is they won the premiership and they were the best team last year, but they won a lot of games by under a goal, and that takes a lot of energy, and that means that they were obviously extremely well connected on the field and they were executing their roles to the top level that they could execute. But right now, you can just see a little bit of a little bit of disconnection and players are off. You can see defensively, they're just not on as much. And that's not hangover-type talk. And they're just little momentum things that bob up. And they'll look at the edits and they'll clean a few things up. And they'll be all right. They'll be there towards the end of the year. But, yeah, certainly at the moment, they're not playing their best footy.
You talk about the previous wins from Collingwood, just, you know, under a goal sort of thing there, Izzy. Carlton have done the same in their first two wins, mate. Do you see a sort of similar pattern, or can you see them burning out? Where do you have Carlton?
Yeah, well, Carlton's an interesting watch. They can either win it or they can miss the finals. They've got some elite players, and I thought they were very lucky. I called the game on Thursday night. I thought they were very lucky. Richmond had three down on the bench, and to be honest, I thought Richmond were the better team on the night. They probably had bigger swings of momentum. Carlton were just able to execute, and they handled the last 3 or 4 minutes really well, which is impressive for Carlton, and that probably puts them in the top few teams because they are managing games well. History would say that you can't continue to win games by small margins. So it will be interesting. I don't think Carlton are firing, but the beauty for them is that they're 2-0. They've got a bye. And if they can win sort of 4 of their next 6 or 7 games, that puts them 6 wins and they're still over half a season to go. So they can really set their season up if they execute. They're still missing their, I would arguably say, their two most important players in Wiedering and Walsh. So if I was a Carlton fan, I'd be very bullish, but you'd certainly want them playing better football if they're going to be really challenging at the end of the year.
You're all over it, mate. And can we just get 2 quick predictions on your old mob? So the Hawks and the Cats this year, just nice and short. What can we expect from them? Where do you see them lining up?
Yeah, well, Cats, I'm very bullish on them. We had a tough summer coming off the premiership and had a hell of a lot of injuries and surgery. So I think their best sort of 10 or 15 players are as good as any in the comp, which if they're fit and healthy, would allow them to challenge at the end of the year, but a couple of injuries could really hurt them and they could miss the finals. Hawthorn, I'm actually about to hop in the car and head up the road and present a jumper to one of the young boys today. So we'll head up to the MCG. As a fan of Hawthorn, I hope they don't perform too well this year because I still think they're 3, 4, 5 years off really challenging. So you want them to access the best talent in the country. But just as a general footy person, I think you'll see Hawthorn on the up. Does that mean they'll win more games than they did last year? I don't necessarily think that's the case, but you just want to see little areas of gold. And the wizard they're talking about, Nick Watson, they reckon he's pretty special. So I'm looking forward to going and watching him run around today.
And one more, mate, before we let you go. Crows and Port here in Adelaide. Can you see them both playing finals?
Yeah, well, I can. Probably the team I'm most enjoying over the last probably 6 to 12 months that footy's been played is the Adelaide Crows. I love how they've set themselves up. I like their forward line. They've got some young guys with a hell of a lot of spark. And Josh Rochelle and Isaac Rankin, for me, are two of the most watchable players in the game. So, I think Adelaide have got 2 teams that can do some pretty special things this year. So footy should be pretty big in Adelaide, I would have thought, this year.
No, we love that, mate. Thanks so much for your time and a great addition to the Triple M family. Thank you.
No worries. Thanks. Sorry, Tom.
He's probably a bit too smart for us, I reckon, Rock.
Yeah, he's too clever for us.
He's all over it.
Yeah, he knows his footy. No, he's a great addition to the Triple M call team.
Dead Set Legends, Triple M. How good? Bit of fooey's for your Saturday morning, 7 minutes away from at 10 o'clock. The Dead Set Legends. We're going to catch up with Crows senior assistant coach Scott Burns very, very shortly. We belong
together. Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Stories from home and away.
Now, no Callum Ferguson, he's still over in Sri Lanka, so we brought in the big guns, haven't we, Rock? We've got our man Tommy Jonas in, the former skipper of Port Adelaide, and, 6 months into retirement. Tej, how are you all settling in?
I tell you what, mate, like, it's actually pretty good life. Izzy and I were talking about it just before. There's nothing to write home about, but you certainly pick a few things up pretty quick, like Christmas Day, just getting ready for the corporate setting. So 6 rod and gun polos, all different colours, and no doubt it'll just be jocks and socks from here on in. Still doing a little bit of work down at Port Adelaide, so keeping my finger in the pie down there, just hanging around with the boys. And the other thing I've got is I'm not very good at making myself go for a run, so I've worked out that obviously drinking responsibly behaving, I've found the best way to motivate myself is to leave the car at the pub, and then you got to trot back in the morning. So just a few little tidbits I picked up, but generally just really enjoying it, mate.
What have you found the hardest to adjust to?
I think it's probably just like missing being around the blokes a lot, and also maybe a little bit of that identity stuff. Like, I felt like I'd prepared for life after footy pretty well, but not having that routine or knowing where I had to be on, you know, November 15 when training starts back, was still something that was tough to adjust to.
I tell you what, one of the great responsible drinkers as well, seeing TJ at the Christmas show with Triple M. It's just a... he enjoyed the votes there, I think it's fair to say, Teach.
Yeah, I mean, like to just get around my new colleagues and show them the best of me. Generally, that's how you do things.
So what are you doing to keep you busy week to week?
Yeah, so I'm doing a couple of days down at Port Adelaide in like a commercial sort of stakeholder engagement role, but also... You know, you get to watch main session most Mondays or Tuesdays, which is a nice time. I'm still peddling a bit of booze through Hey Diddle Wine. So Brad Ebert and I have had that going for about 7 years, and that's been pretty flat stick. And I've done a little bit of work with the Sacker leadership team this year. And nice. I mean, a tough year on the outside for Sacker, but some great young cricketers coming through there and young leaders.
Now, you touched on Hey Diddle. What is it? Vintage at the moment, is it?
Yeah, that's it. I've been up getting the hands dirty, you know. Got on the hose, a couple of pump overs. See, I'm just dropping wine lingo terms here. But, it's a good time of year. The weather's caused a few issues, but it's going to be some good vino out of the Adelaide regions once again, as we've come to expect.
And family life, TJ, you're full-time dad just at home now, or do you let the wife go to work? She's a doctor, obviously.
Yeah, I've put Milzo back on the tools full-time, just so I've got, you know, a little bit of flexibility. So full-time dad means the kids are at childcare 3 days a week still, so it's pretty tough. But, it's been nice to be around the house a little bit, and I think Mil's enjoyed having me around. She hasn't got sick of me just yet, so... she sneaks off to Pilates if she does. So. Yeah.
And what about your old side, Port Adelaide, mate? How do you see them going? Like, it's fresh. You know, there's obviously a new skipper, a young skipper, a young leadership group. Where do you see it all happening?
Yeah, I think leadership-wise, I mean, the boys will do a really good job. When you're fresh into those leadership roles and you've got a lot of support around you, I think it's just about playing footy. And I think all of those boys, you know, Husto, Rose, Buttsy, have shown they're going to be able to play good footy. And then in terms of the results, you know, they're just going to have to get enough games to get to finals and peak at the right time of the year. We probably saw last year it was a little bit back to front, but they'll be right around the mark.
Like it, mate. 3 minutes away from 10 o'clock. Great to have you on board the Dead Set Legends. Triple M. 11 minutes past 10 o'clock, 104.7 Adelaide's at Triple M, the Dead Set Legends, with Tom Rockliffe, Tom Jonas, and Tomo this morning. The three Toms, as Isaac Smith pointed out earlier on. On the line right now, the Crows senior assistant coach, Scotty Burns, joins us. Scott, good morning to you. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, lads. How are you going?
Yeah, good, thank you. You've been on the ground there at Gold Coast for the last 24 hours. What's conditions going to be doing tonight, mate?
I'm not sure. It's always a bit awkward up here. Yesterday was a bit of everything. It was a bit of drizzle. The sun comes out. It gets quite warm. But it's actually today quite mild. And I think there's a fair bit of cloud cover all day. So we'll just have to wait and see. You can't tell sometimes with these night games. It can get quite dewy a bit quicker than it normally does. And as always, the boys are sweating, obviously, with their jumpers in their arms. So at times that ball will be hard to handle.
You got a good look at the Gold Coast Suns last week. Their midfield is all systems go at the moment. Tuke Miller, Noah Anderson, Matty Rao had the 20-21 clearances last week. How do you go about stopping them tonight, Scotty?
Yeah, they're fourth and fifth one too, like Flanders and Humphrey. And probably stopping them. We've really got to attack Witsy in the ruck because... I think Jared's been an underrated ruckman for quite a while. He's certainly given his boys first look at it. And yeah, it's definitely a strength. Richmond levelled that up in that third quarter and ended up winning that quarter by 4 or 5 goals. So that's an immediate focus. I mean, that's where obviously the ball's going to start in those centre bounces. And I would think in the maybe if we do get those slippery conditions, there will be quite a few stoppages as well. So we've got to make sure we get it done. But, you know, our midfield is reasonably strong, and I think the last 12 to 13 games, we were fourth or fifth best stoppage diff team last year. So, it should be a really good challenge for the boys inside.
Scott, Tom Jonas here. Suns obviously got a hit out last week in opening round. Is there anything in that in terms of preparation and lead-in? And, you know, is that an advantage or a disadvantage, or it doesn't really matter?
Well, you don't know. It's really hard to tell. I mean, even already you've seen the teams that have played. There's all of a sudden the team's 2-0 or 0-2. So it's just important to try and bank these wins early. Look, you could be a bit sore second up too. That can certainly happen. I think the biggest advantage is you get a couple of home games straight away, so you're not travelling, you're in your bed, and you got two on your home deck, which can help. But we're not too fussed at all. We've certainly prepared and planned to play our first game on tonight, so all our preparations have been focused towards the hit out tonight. So we're quite confident the boys are in good shape and they'll give a good account of themselves.
And Tex, obviously with the back, didn't get up. How does that forward line function tonight without him there?
Yeah, well, obviously he's been a key player for the last 2 to 3 years down there, well, his whole career, but especially the last 2 to 3 years, where he's really turned his form around, good enough to make the All-Australian team last year. Look, it's just opportunity. You know, Lockie Gallant has been a terrific SNFL player now for 18 months, so he's been good enough to come into a showdown and kick 4 goals as well. So he's got ability and talent, and Chris Burgess has won the VFL goal-kicking the last 2 years. Mm. So we're replacing them with two boys that are sort of hungry for their opportunity and certainly deserve it through their form at the level underneath.
Been a bit of chatter about Tex may have potentially even played if this was at Adelaide Oval tonight. Do you buy into that, Scotty?
Yeah, well, he wasn't far off. Yeah, maybe not tonight. Maybe if it was a Sunday game, another 24 hours would have given him a bit more of a chance. But, yeah, look, he would have had to fly up a day earlier. It would have certainly been a 50-51 if it was another day later, which is good going into next week because we're going to get a 6-day turnaround. So it should enable him to get a good hit out at least at training next week before we play our second game.
Playing the long game there, I reckon that's the right move. What about in terms of helping out the forward line? I mean, when I watched you guys, I think if your midfield's winning, it doesn't necessarily matter about as much of the firepower up forward, but do you tend to agree with that, or is it something different from your perspective?
Well, we've got firepower, but they're still young. I mean, I've had this conversation during the pre-season to our boys. Like, we're a number one offensive team last year, but that's offensive team. It's not as if we've got the best 6 or 7 forwards. I thought Tex and Isaac are obviously hugely talented and played pretty good football, but the other boys, we're still developing. We're still not where we want to get to in terms of, you know, career best form. We've got Fogarty and Philthorpe that are still on the improve, and Pedler, Rochelle, Murphy and Keys. There's still a lot of improvement with all those boys up forward. So we're certainly not resting on our laurels. We know that we can get better. And our midfield, I thought, like I said earlier, our midfield to turn it around the last half of the year to give us supply. And even off half back, when you've got Miller, Ahinge and Smith, that run and dash just opens up the game. So sometimes the work that's done before it gets inside 50 enables us to score quite well.
Scotty, thanks so much for your time and all the best tonight, mate.
No worries. Thank you, lads.
Oh, fantastic. He touches on Chris Burgess there, you know, leading the goal kicker for the last 2 seasons. Have you seen a bit of him, Rocky? Do you know much about him? Obviously been on the list at Gold Coast for the past few years as well.
Yeah, he gets an opportunity. Not a great deal, but I'm sure he'll want to take every opportunity that he gets.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he's kicked goals on me, Tom. I most have. Nah, I think, I mean, he's a mature head. He'll have good craft. I think he'll settle that forward line down because there isn't a whole lot of experience when you take Tex out of there. So, you know, I think he's going to play an important role for them this year.
Yep, no doubt about that. Now, coming up next, TJ, Rocky has made a career out of predictions, and some have been absolutely spot on, and some have been really, really ordinary. And there's one from last week that might have gone down south a little bit, and we're going to do that next. Triple M, 20 minutes past 10 o'clock, 104.7 Adelaide's a Triple M. The Dead Cert Legends, Tom Rockliffe, Tommy Jonas in Ferg's seat this morning, and Tomo. Now, Rocky, this is the one thing that the Adelaide audience absolutely love about you. I'm going to go national audience. You've got the kahunas and you put them on the line all the time with your predictions. And some, I repeat, some really come off. The Grundy one was a big one for you. Go, run us through that.
Yeah, Brody Grundy said that he won't be at Collingwood by the next year, and he was at Melbourne.
Yeah, so, that was a good one.
He ended up getting traded, but I think I've had a lot more misses than hits.
Well, the Alistair Clarkson was another good one. That was a dinger.
Yeah, I said Clark I would be coaching in 2023, but I feel like there's something coming here.
Well, this was another one. Like last year, you said about the Crows that they would be off to a pretty ordinary start.
Now, if they go 0-3 tonight, they're going to go 0-12.
0-12?
0-12.
You're an idiot, mate.
And then they won that night, I think. They beat Port in the showdown, didn't they?
Now, last week was interesting. And you have no idea what you actually said, is that right?
Nah.
Nothing at all?
No. My headline of the year at round 13 will be Freo part ways with Longmuir.
Ooh, wow, that's big.
That's still on the cards.
Backing down, which I absolutely love.
Like, it was a strange decision, wasn't it, to re-sign him for 1 year?
Well, let's have a listen.
An announcement that we're incredibly pleased about at the football club, and that is that the club and our senior coach in Justin Longmuir have agreed an extension of his current contract to the end of 2025.
Rob.
So, bang. Missed it straight away.
Straight away. Within, like, 3 days of you saying, I reckon they caught up on the listener.
Now I remember, yes.
I reckon they caught up on the listener app.
Had a bit of a listen to it and said, we better re-sign him.
I reckon. Now, you've known Rocky for a number of years, TJ. This is, like, he doesn't back down, does he? Stubborn.
Which we love.
Yeah.
It takes it to the bank. He probably needs to check a few of those sources going on that last night in particular. Who you got over on the West there? The Wizard of the West.
No, I just think that they should be better than what they are the last couple of years. He's been there for 5 or 6 years now. I don't think he survives at the end of the year anyway.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Jackie Lambie got a hold of it. You heard about that? throughout the week. Jackie Lambie wasn't happy whatsoever.
What did she say? I simply want to say this to Rocky. Listen and listen very carefully, Rocky. It's as simple as this.
Frio fans
have had a bloody gutful of your
predictions,
and you're gonna stick it up your bum.
Bit of craft this morning from Jackie Lambie.
Oh, he's very, very happy with himself, isn't he?
I don't want to say too much, but I reckon we package that up and send that to the actors, right?
Yeah, that should win an award, Tom, I reckon.
Ted's well done. Now, we're back on predictions, aren't we here, Rocky? Because you had an absolute nightmare last week, let's be frank, and you had no idea until about 4 minutes ago.
Yeah, no. Had the headline of the year that Longmuir would be sacked halfway through the year or that part ways, and he re-signed this week.
An announcement that we're incredibly pleased about at the football club, and that is that the club and our senior coach in Justin Longmuir have agreed an extension of his current contract to the end of 2025.
Now, we've all been there. We've all had some poor predictions, and I reckon it's time we go to the family on 133353. What was your poor prediction? What happened? Was it a mate of yours as well that's come out and said something ridiculous? Because, well, I'll put my hand up, Rock. I had it was actually the season going into 2022 at the start of the year. I said Geelong will miss the eight. And they end up winning the flag. So
And I think you said Collingwood last year as well.
Ah, they'd be sliding, yep.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, boys. I did predict I'd be playing AFL in 2024.
We've all been there as well.
It'll be Essendon, Greg.
Okay.
Alistair Clarkson will go and coach Essendon.
All right.
Everyone's had some ordinary ones, haven't they?
They've had some bad ones, especially that man, Andrew Jarman, who we're going to speak to a little bit later. But, jump on the phones, 133353. Tickets to the Screaming Jets as well, Tomo.
Yeah, how good. This is down at the Gov. Dave Gleeson and the boys rocking out. We've got double passes galore. So many of these double passes. 133353. Hit us up. What was your poor prediction? Or was it, you know, you can toss a mate under the bus as well. We'll take your calls very shortly here at the Dead Set Legends. 133353. 27 minutes away from 11 o'clock. 104.7 Adelaide's a Triple M. The Dead Set Legends. Tom Rockcliffe. Tommy Jonas in the seat for Callum Ferguson today and at Tomo. Now, Rock, have you spoken to Ferg much at all? Because he's over there in Sri Lanka just on an absolute junket at the moment. I see he made it a little half ton the other week, but we don't want to talk too much about that.
No, he drops a line every now and then, doesn't he? He's sending email from his email in the group chat or something like that. So, I think he's going well over there. It'll be nice to have him back
It'll be interesting. We're talking poor predictions right now in 133353. This is off the back of you, Rock, saying that the Fremantle coach, I can't remember his name at the moment, Longmuir. he's going to be sacked halfway through the year, and then he re-signs throughout the week.
Well, obviously you're off him, Tomo, so wrapped him up.
Tim Watson.
And your prediction as well, what was yours, TJ?
Yeah, well, like I said, I thought I might still be playing senior AFL footy at this point of the year, but here I am just kicking the tyres in the DSL in Ferg's replacement. Rocky's had enough of me already. He wants Ferg back, so I feel pretty good about myself.
You stay, TJ. You can stay. You can take my spot, mate.
133353 is the number. Poor predictions as we head down to Victor Harbour. It'd be beautiful this morning. We got Josh there. Josh, hello, mate.
Yeah, how are you, mate? How you going?
Yeah, good. What's your poor prediction, man?
It was actually my mate's pool prediction. He was picking that Port Adelaide would win the flag this year, and I'm thinking that is absolutely no chance. I'm calling a poor prediction early there.
Mm. Okay. What's on the line there? You, a little wager or just...
Just a slab. I'm a Crows man. He's a Port man. So just a slab on whoever finishes high. So hopefully I'm coming home with that one at the end of the year. Fingers crossed.
Would be interesting. Have you had a look at that Port fixture? It looks pretty good early on, mate.
I'm a bit worried about the West Coast game coming up. I think that should be a good start for you. But yeah, hopefully after that, it's all downhill. Fingers crossed.
Oh, I like it. Thank you very much. And we do the slab all responsibly, obviously, Rob. Don't worry about that.
Has Ferg paid you for your bet last year?
No.
You two have?
No, he hasn't. No, which is incredible. Like, when you make a bet with someone, TJ, you pay it up, don't you?
Oh, unless you're going to go double or nothing, you know.
Mm.
No, not willing to...
Well, what was the bet? It was about...
Crows and Essendon, who would finish higher? Yeah,
well, I think we're right there.
I'd be doubling up on that, mate.
You'd be going for it. Andrew Jarman, not too far away here at Triple M. 15 minutes away from 11 o'clock, 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M, the Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockliffe, Tommy Jonas, and Tomo this morning. And I tell you what, career highlight this for me.
Whoa.
This has been in the making for the past 2 years. Every time that I walk past this man, he has absolutely clipped me for my efforts on Dead Set Legends. He said 12 years he did on that show. And I've tarnished the brand, basically. The last time I spoke Dead Set Legends to this individual, he said, I will never, ever, ever feature as a guest on your show. And we've got him right now. Andrew Jarman, good morning to you.
Good morning, team. Tom Rockliffe, I welcome you. Tommy Jonas, I welcome you. And hello to Tomo, my boy.
Now, Jazz, for so long, you've just been clipping me of this 9 to 11.30 time slot on the Dead Set Legends, and you're saying that I'm doing a poor, piss poor, terrible job, and you would never be a guest. So it's great to have you on board.
No, well, I gave you a bit of a hug the other day, and I thought it's time. It's time because you're doing a terrific job with these two young men, the two Tommies from Port Adelaide.
Now, Jars, you were the brains trust, I'm hearing, behind the caravan lockup. Talk us through that.
Well, Rock, I'll talk you through this. Now, because we all loved Big Bill's house on Channel 9 when the footy show was on back in the day, we all loved it. Mm-hmm. And then I've been stewing on this for a while, a couple of years now, and I said to Maddie, so I pinched the idea off Big House, whatever you call the damn thing. Anyway, I thought it would be good for Greg Blewett and Bernie Vince and I to find each other in a confined space somewhere. So our boss, Matthew O'Reilly, who we all love, wears white sand shoes and tight jeans, said to me end of last year, I think it's a go-ahead. Let's have a go at it and let's put it together. And, well, it was the best 25 hours of my life. With these two boys and the team behind us, we couldn't have done it without them. It was some of the funniest things I've ever done, mate.
Yep.
And tell us, Jars, you're talking about confined spaces. Was there a little prank pulled at one point? Ooh. Did you find yourself in an even more confined space?
Well, where are you going with this, TJ?
Well, I may have seen something up on the socials where you just went to, you know, relieve yourself and the boys may have... Am I barking up the right tree here or what?
No, you're in the right tree, mate, and I'm up there with you. I was struggling because I'm very fussy where I go to sort myself out internally. And the Kennard's higher toilet was Greg Blewett had been in there about 20 minutes earlier. Oof. And he's got issues downstairs, as we know. And I just thought, I'll sneak around the back of the Oztrak camper, not knowing there's about 700 cameras watching me. And then I got stung by Big Basso. If I hear that again, I will scream. I rang him yesterday. This is Tom Basso, our producer of our annual producer, who's having a day off with his lovely fiance, Elizabeth. I rang him yesterday and I hear this, hello, this is Big Basso.
Oh, no.
Oh, mate. I could have chased him down the road, but it was a lot of fun. But, yeah, I did, Tom. Yeah, that's correct. Yes.
Now, Jars, the thing about you is you're so about the team and, you'd never have a crack at your own teammates or anything like that. But I did hear a little snippet of when you were forced into the diary room thinking no one else could hear this audio.
I'm really concerned about Greg Blewett's attitude thus far. I think mentally he's weak. Physically he's weak. Because he's come from a cricket mentality. Bernie, Vince and I, we're strong. We're strong individuals. So what I want to get out of this is to break Greg, to destroy him, and then rebuild him. to become one of us. To become a strong man.
Now, how's the rebuild going, Juice?
Whack.
I forgot I said that. Oh, shit. That's not good.
You know, this is all about the team and the 25 hours together, and we'll grit it out. Greg Blewett is weak.
Physically, mentally.
No, he's weak. He's like that Ferguson lad. He's weak.
Not just calling Greg weak, calling the whole cricket fraternity weak.
Oh, that's a bit harsh, isn't it, Rock? Oh, no. Oh, Bluey.
Unbelievable. Jazz, thank you so much for your time, mate, and welcome. But welcome back to the Dead Set Legends, where you've dominated as well, mate. Absolutely fantastic.
You're doing a good job, yes, boys. Jazz. TJ, how are you coping, mate? You all right?
Very well, mate. I'm looking forward to being back on your show this week.
Oh, are you back, eh?
Oh, well, maybe not.
I didn't realise we signed off on that. Okay, well, I'll see you next week, Rob.
See you, Jess. You can catch up with all the shenanigans on the Listener app as well. Absolutely brilliant and a great initiative, and well done to all those involved. He's going to be on the front bar as well again, Rock. He's,
Yeah. He loves the limelight.
The gather round, he will be there on Channel 7. So the great Andrew Jarman here at Dead Set Legend. 11:11. For your Saturday morning, 104.7, Triple M, the Dead Set Legends. Tom Rockliffe, Cow Ferguson is out, gone. See you later. He's missed the last couple of weeks, can you believe it? So he's got his replacement in. Tommy Jonas for this week is doing a stellar job, and Tomo. But boys, time to talk footy. Rocky, you're up there on the Gold Coast at the moment. You're going to be calling the game tonight. The Adelaide Crows landed there yesterday. How do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, out at People First Stadium. It should be a cracking contest, actually. Both these teams are pretty evenly matched, both vying to get that finals berth. That's certainly the Gold Coast Suns have never been there, and the Adelaide Crows, they haven't been there since 2017, I think it is now, since they played finals. So they need a win. Both these clubs need to win these games of footy. Gold Coast were really impressive last week, taking on the Richmond Footy Club up here. Their midfield just operated so well. Noah Anderson, Matty Rao, Tuke Miller, Jared Witts. They just got their hands on the footy, got it going forward. And Richmond could not go with them in that first half. The Adelaide Crows, they're obviously playing their first game, so we're not exactly sure how they're going to shape up, but obviously not having Taylor Walker out there is a big loss for the Adelaide Crows. He's their leading goal kicker over the last couple of years, All-Australian last year as well. But Darcy Fogarty's the man that's going to have to put his hand up and lead from the front, and we heard him speak about that this week.
There's definitely people that can come in. We've got a really tight key forward line at the moment. We've got confidence in the keys, I guess, that they're going to fill roles and play really well.
So Gallant and Burgess, obviously the keys that he's talking about that have come in. Burgess has won the VFL goal kicking the last two seasons, Rock.
Yeah, so he adds a different dimension in that forward half for them. They've got avenues to goal. Their small forwards are crafty. We know that. Rochelle, Rankin, these guys. So they're a good... It shapes as a really good contest. Where are their goals going to come from? The Adelaide Crows, I think the smalls are going to have to kick their goals when they got the opportunity. It's going to be slippery up here. It gets dewy at night time. So the ball will be on the ground. But can the Adelaide Crows match the Gold Coast Suns in the midfield, TJ?
That's it, Rock. You spoke about it. Potentially slippery conditions, which might play into the Crows' favour. They've got a couple of blokes around the ball that really do like to get... down and dirty, you know, Laird, Crouch, Sam Berry in there. And it's a funny one. We've been speaking all pre-season about the Crows' back line, and now all of a sudden you roll into round one and we're talking about their forward line. Yeah. I think they're going to need... It's going to have to be an all-play-well type situation there. There's obviously going to be a big job on Max King. They've got to match him in the middle, Matt Rao, Noah Anderson, a few others in there. So it's shaping up to be a really interesting contest and could set the tone for the Crows' first few weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be a great challenge to stop King as well. He's timing the ball. He's jumping, improved out of sight over the off-season, and he's back to his absolute best. He got a bag last week, and if he does that again, it'll go a long way to the Gold Coast Suns winning that game. I think I'm going to tip the Gold Coast Suns in a close one.
Yeah, and Witts is a big one as well. We just heard Scotty Burns on. We had him this time last hour. Underrated ruckman, everyone's saying. Rocky, you've seen him firsthand.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he leads the hitouts to advantage last year in the competition. The Gold Coast Suns certainly did. He's the big driver of that. He sets up that midfield really well. Big left-hander, gets it to the right areas for his on-ballers.
Yeah, and the same point. Riley O'Brien was probably best on ground in the Crows' second trial match. He was enormous. He's got a huge tank. He's probably going to do 100% of the ruck work. tonight, so big job for him. But he is critical to the Crows. He gets back and sits in the hole, so he'll be in front of Max King tonight, making sure that it's not just a run and jump at the ball. And at the other end, he actually has the ability to get forward, and maybe not the most classical drop punt, but he kicks the goals when he needs to.
Yeah, I like that. And on the flip side as well, before we move on, Tej, who are you tipping?
I think I'll probably go with the Suns up there.
Yep.
They've got a good record.
Yep. Flip side, the Port Adelaide Football Club host West Coast. You saw West Coast firsthand against the Crows at Richmond Oval as well. Have they improved from last year, you reckon?
I'm not sure where West Coast are at. They're going to be towards the bottom again. I think they were missing a couple of players down at Richmond last week. But we got a first-hand look at Harley Reid. He's obviously going to be class. Like, he worked his way into the game. He's spending a bit of time at half-back through the midfield. But he's going to need support of not just the other young players, but some of those senior players, their premiership players that come back into the side. Jerry McGovern looks like he's in great nick. He's trimmed down. He was quite dominant, floating across half-back, doing what he does. Yo's back out there. They're going to need blokes like Cripps to stand up as well if they're going to be a chance tomorrow.
And the big story is Ollie Lord as well, unfortunately gone down with injury, and here is Ken talking about that.
Yeah, look, it absolutely is to see any player get injured, and same for any player in the league. I've been, you get devastated when you see the other clubs as well. And, we might compete and we're fiercely competitive, but the last thing we want to do is see injuries to any of the young people playing the game. So it is a disappointing thing. But for us, in some small way, we absolutely got a surprise and a bonus after what we seen on Saturday morning. We thought we'd lost one of our potential really good young players for the whole year. And luckily for us, it appears to be that he's dodged a bit of a bullet, and he'll be back in a pretty quick amount of time.
Yeah, we've already seen three ACLs this year, which is really disappointing for those boys. But luckily for us, Ollie Lord's dodged one. 8 weeks, he'll be back sort of around the middle of the year, but opens the door for Jeremy Finlayson. He probably hasn't been in the form he was in the middle of part of last year, but I think it suits him perfectly, playing probably a team they should win in round one in West Coast. You got Charlie Dixon there, Toddy Marshall, going to take a bit of the pressure off him, and he might get a couple of goals and find some form. I really think that, they've spoken a lot about, I'm not talking expectation, and West Coast have got 10 premiership players playing and some young talented players. But if Port are fair dinkum, they go out and, they have a strong win tomorrow at Arvo.
Yeah, they just have to win this game of footy if they want to get to that top four position that they desire. I think it's exciting times down there at Port Adelaide. Rosie Butters, these guys, Horn Francis, they've got to really grab this group and leadership group now, captain, vice-captain. They've just got to grab this group and take it forward.
And the word is coming out of Port Adelaide that Ollie Wines will play more midfield. It squeezed out to a wing last year. TJ, your thoughts?
Yeah, interrupted pre-season last year and kind of never found his feet. And it was a new dynamic having, Rosie Butters, Horn Francis, Drew all coming on in 1 year. So they had to shuffle around a bit. But I think you'll see those dynamic forwards, dynamic midfielders like Rosie Butters and Horn Francis spend a little bit of time in the forward line so Ollie can get in there a bit more. But there's a couple of stiff blokes, but there always are this time of year. So we'll see Dylan Williams and the like get their opportunity as the year goes on.
No doubt. We are looking forward to it. Footy season is here. The Crows take on at Gold Coast tonight, and Port Adelaide host the West Coast Eagles. You can catch it all on Listener as well. LISTNR's Triple M rocks of football. It's the Dead Set Legend.